And it looks like it's nice and sunny. Didn't look so good this morning. Today's the spring ahead day. I'm glad to see all who are here. Some people may have had clock problems. It happens. The 17th of this month is St. Patrick's Day, day to remember. A lot of people have fun. A lot of people party. If you do, be careful. And the first day of spring is coming on March 20th. So that's always something good to look forward to. We get out of winter, get into spring, get into things growing, and the world gets renewed again. Thank you. Does anybody have any other announcements?
I do.
Ah, see?
I want to remind you that at the Princess Theater at 3 o'clock today, we're having the Roan Choral Irish concert. If you like Irish music, I think you'll really enjoy it. Please stand as we sing Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. Thank you.
Dearest Heavenly Father, as we enter into this worship service, we pray for spiritual strength. Fill us with the courage and the resilience to face life's challenges with unwavering faith. Strengthen our spirits so that we may continue to walk in your light, even in times of adversity. We draw our strength from you, O Lord, and we rely on your grace to carry us through the storms of life. As we gather in worship, may your strength fill our hearts and sustain us in our journey of faith. With hearts fulfilled in your strength, we say in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Our next hymn is Seek Ye First.
On this first Sunday in Lent, we join Jesus in the wilderness, a place of wild and dangerous things, of testing and temptation, away from the security of home. Once again, we watch and listen as Satan throws out temptation upon temptation, and we find our security in Jesus, who does not waver from the truth. Once again, we face our own frailty and realize that the wilderness is not nearly as dangerous as our choices to prioritize selfish gain and the hoarding of power. Once again, we call upon God in the wilderness of our lives, and we trust in God's faithful reply. Morning again. We have one prayer concern right off the bat, and for those of you who were here early, you'll notice our candles were lit and we didn't have an acolyte, we didn't have a candle lighter. So Liam, he's a little bit under the weather today, so I ask us to pray for him. Hope he gets better. Evidently he's got a bug and he just wasn't feeling good. And he asked for us to pray for him. He asked for me to pray for him, and I'm going to ask for all of us to pray for him. I think something I haven't done and I should do is, as we pray this week, Let's pray for this church. This church is good to us. It's been good to you. I know it's been good to me. I'm very glad to be here. So let's pray for it. Everything needs help. Everything and everyone. We haven't prayed for missing children. And that is a problem in this country, and probably in the world. There are children who go missing every day. Fortunately, a lot of them are found. I don't know about you people. I get a text on my phone for the alerts. And a lot of times they do find the children. But unfortunately, a lot of times we do not. So let's pray for them, both the children who are missing and whatever circumstances they may be in, and for the parents and the loved ones for these children. It's got to be a very hurtful thing to lose a child. Does anybody else have any other concerns? You talk loud enough, so.
Yeah, not a concern. I just wanted to follow up on our ministry calendar. Council.
Oh.
Now, so can we look at that on the 23rd, a few Sundays from now? Any objections? All good. I mean, I don't have anything, any special agenda or anything. We just haven't met in a while, so.
When would you want to? When?
Right after church on the 23rd.
So everybody hear that? After the 23rd, right after church, we're going to have an admin council meeting. If anybody's got any problems, I'd say see Rich, but sounds good to me. God, you are our refuge. You are the shore in sight. You're the hands that reach out, and you're the ground on which we rest. God, you are our strength. You are the life that we long for. You are the refusal to give up, and you are the keys of home that we always carry with us. God, you're our help in times of trouble, and we call on you from all the ruins and the rubble. We call on you from the wilderness and from the deep, and we call on you to meet us most of all and most importantly in this place. Amen. And if the ushers would come forth, it's now time for the tithes and offerings. Thank you.
Our next hymn is Take Time to Be Holy.
Give me 1 second.
Oh, sorry.
No problem. It was my fault. I got a little out of order here. Okay. Faithful God, who journeys with us through the wilderness of our lives, we offer these gifts and we remember your sustaining presence. In this period of spiritual renewal, strengthen us to resist temptation and guide us to live in community with love and with grace. May these offerings be signs of hope and acts of compassion that reflect the love you have shown us in Christ. Empower us to rise together, supporting one another on this journey of faith and transformation. And in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer, we pray. Amen.
Now we'll sing it. Take Time to Be Holy.
Scripture is Psalm 91, verses 1 to 2 and 9 through 16. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High in your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge shall come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, so you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Those who love me, I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them, and I will honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay, we have a little pre-scripture sermon. So weekend or weeknight services are sometimes difficult to manage in our overly busy world. Therefore, for many worshipers, today is the beginning of Lent. There's an invitational quality to this beginning, an open, enthusiastic invitation. It's making a genuine offer to observe a holy Lent, as our book of worship describes it. Yet we also remember as we gather here, none of this is possible on our own. The plea from the psalmist to God was, rescue me. So when we gather, there is both our continual petition for God's rescue to be seen in our lives, and also gratitude for what God has already provided in and for each and all of us. We give thanks for the capacity to grow and the grace to continue, even when the way is hard. That means while our Lenten worship is serious, it needs not, it doesn't have to be somber. There can be joy in the journey. There can be hope of realizing the vision of who we are as the people of God. There can be community, even when we wrestle with temptation, as our Lord did in the gospel text for this week. We call on the resources that he provided by example and his continuing presence. And we remember the gift that he gave by making that journey, so that in our journey, we have a companion with us who knows. As we worship today, let us celebrate the Christ who knows us and our journey, because he has walked this same lonesome valley. So, rescue me is the plea. Perhaps Jesus said it in his temptation in the wilderness. Certainly, the psalmist says it over and over again, in many different ways. We call out to God to rescue us today, sometimes with a certainty that God will answer, and other times out of desperation, hoping God will listen when it seems that no one else will. Consider this question. Where in your life are you calling out to be rescued? And how might God be calling you out to reach out in love to help and to rescue your neighbor? I think you might consider praying for some guidance in answering these questions. I know I did. Now, Lent is a somber, reflective, internal season designed to make us feel sorry for our sinfulness. It's about our individual journey with Christ, who was out wandering in the wilderness for these 40 days, as Jesus wandered in the wilderness for 40 days. But what does all this somberness, all this being sorry, all this repenting, and all this introspection have to do with loving? Well, everything. It has just everything. Now, what if Lent isn't supposed to be an individual exercise? What if in our introspection and in our confession and our examination of the inner being is supposed to be done in the community, not by ourselves? What if the heart of our Lenten examination is about how we live in our community, about how we love? We live in love. That is the secret of our existence. We are surrounded by a love that is almost indescribable. Now, we're wandering in the wilderness, remember? That's our Lenten journey, just like Jesus. But remember, wilderness for Jesus isn't the wilderness that we usually think of. We think of green, of trees so thick that you can't see through them, of grass and weeds and undergrowth that catches our feet, making it hard to walk. We think of creepy and slithery things, things with teeth and claws. We think of swamps and vegetation in our wilderness, peopled with creatures of our imagination and from film history. And our vision, this vision, is far different from his. His wilderness was a desert, rocks and sand, the sun beating down, sapping strength and life. It was dry and parched, and he was exposed, and he was vulnerable. So Psalm 91 was a blessing. You who live in shelter, who abide in shadow, it was not hiding, it was relief. Relief from the blazing sun. You who abide in shadow, can you feel it? The cloud covers the sun for a moment, and suddenly you can stand straighter and you can run a little further. You can open your eyes again and see what surrounds you. Relief. God's love is a relief. Human love is also a relief. Relief from the dry feeling of abandonment and isolation. It's relief from the hearts parched from a lack of love that they can sense or receive. It's the relief of residing in a cool shadow of acceptance and security. It's the relief of standing up straighter instead of bent over from the weight of emptiness. My refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For what? Trust God for what? There's a thread in the psalm that feels, well, dangerous. Angels will bear you up so that you don't dash your foot out on a stone. Treading on lions and snakes. No scourge will come near your tent. It's dangerous and conditional. Those who love me, I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. But what about those who don't know because they haven't been told? Or they haven't been told in a way that makes sense to them? What about those who don't know how to love God yet? And are we on our own if we find ourselves in that category, either temporarily or permanently? If we do know, if we love as best we can, then what do we get? Do we get a bubble suit to protect us from all these evils and dangers and slimy and creepy things? Do we get a tireless guardian angel pulling us back from busy curbs, protecting us from airborne diseases, shielding us from flying projectiles hurtled by accident or by intent? Are we impervious to hurt? If that is the promise, then why do we hurt? Do we hurt because God isn't paying attention or because we didn't love rightly? Or could it be, is it that we didn't know enough? Well, we know better, at least in our heads. Sometimes our gut instinct wonders. Sometimes we feel abandoned at times, and at other times we may feel inadequate, like we disappointed God. But we know better. We know that God's love is constant and it's unconditional. Psalm 91 says there is nothing that can happen to us to take that love away from us. The last two verses explain the promises. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and I will honor them. In verse 15, says God promises to answer whenever we call. Now, we don't always hear the answer because we've moved out of hearing distance or because we haven't learned the language of God well enough or because we set up a hoop for God to jump through. And God hates hoops. He won't jump through. But the promise of God will always answer. Now, the second promise from this verse is that God will be with us. I will be with them in trouble. Well, we prefer that God keep us from trouble, but since a lot of the trouble we're in is our own fault, and God gives us the freedom to wander away, we should celebrate the good news that even our stubbornness and even our bad choices and even our attempt to take God's place, it doesn't keep God away from us. But wait, that verse does say rescue. It says, I will rescue and honor them. So there you go. There's our get out of jail free card. Except it never and it doesn't seem to work that way. God will honor us? Well, I've always thought and been taught that we honor God. I don't think I've ever thought about God honoring us. But by allowing us to make our own choices and then to live with the consequences, in his way, that's honoring us. But we do have that card, that get out of jail free card in the end. We are rescued. Verse 16 says, with long life I will satisfy them and I will show them my salvation. That's the promise. That's the rescue. We usually want something more temporal, but God thinks the big picture and he tries to show it to us. God invites us to live it now. Another way of thinking about this protection, this rescue, is to say, let's live as God wants us to do and see if our lives aren't better, if they're not more filled and fulfilling and more alive. Let's love as God encourages us to do and see if we aren't better lovers all around. This allows us to rescue and to be rescued within the community where we live, this love in powerful ways. Now, there's one thing that didn't come out of the scriptures and out of this lesson that I want to bring up, and that is every one of us, each of us, me, you, everybody, sometime, somewhere, we need to be rescued. And, you know, there's a saying, you know, about the Lord helps them who helps themselves. And the one thing I want to add on here is that everybody needs to be rescued. Everybody needs a helping hand. We all do once in a while. But I think an important word to remember here is the word help. I don't think that it's an expectation or something that we should live by, that everything will be done for us, that a rescue is total and complete and doesn't need any assistance anywhere along the line or along the path from ourselves. It's a two-part thing. We need to be rescued sometimes. We need to be saved sometimes. But we also need to look inside ourselves and realize that we also are going to need to put something into this. We're going to need to help ourselves in order to be truly rescued and truly saved. It's a team thing. It's a community thing. It's a community and a team effort. It's not a soul effort. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand as we sing, "There's a Wideness in God's Mercy." Beloved, you who live in the shelter of the Most High and abide in the shadow of the Almighty, you will find in God your refuge and your fortress. Go now with the blessing of God, who shelters and rescues you, that we all might be a shelter and a rescue for and with one another. Amen.